Participation in that part of our service. We'll set the hymnals aside now and let the little ones escape with Mrs. Shore to your class in the creche. And the rest of us, please open your Bibles again to, I guess, page 492, was it? Was that right? 472 in the church Bibles. And in our Bibles, if you're looking up in your Bible, 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verses 22 through 30. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 22 through 30. Well, I'm going to share with you this morning. It came from my devotions, just my time reading through the Bible. I don't set a kind of an annual goal. I try to read through the Bible as much as I can every year. It's usually actually more than one time through the whole Bible, and I read other places as well as I'm reading along. But as I've been reading this time through the Old Testament, and I read about these porters that we're going to look at. There were some thoughts that came to my mind about that. And you think about, first of all, what a privilege it is to serve God. We don't begin to understand what God has given to us and the opportunity that is ours to serve Him. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 4 and then verse 11, it says, "And He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street." In verse 11, "My sons, be not now negligent," he said to them, "for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him and to serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense." That's awesome. Do you know this morning there's 7 billion people on the planet, and yet God has time for you? Isn't that amazing? God is a personal God. God has chosen us. If we're saved, if we've accepted Christ, and the door is there for anybody to step through, "Whosoever will, let him come unto me and drink the water of life freely." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. "Call upon me, and I will." "He that shall call upon me shall be saved." Right? I mean, that opportunity is there. But somebody that's saved, you've been chosen by God, by God's grace, not just to salvation, but to obedience and to service for the Lord, to be obedient to what God has called us to do. That's a privilege, isn't it? Samuel. We looked at him already in our scripture this morning. We're going to come across him again in our text as we go back to it. But Samuel was put by God as a great answer to prayer into the temple at a very, very young age. And as a child, he grew up in the temple, and it says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah," that's the man, "and his wife," and that's the mother and father of Samuel, "that gave him to the Lord." Samuel was that. Remember, going back to the message I preached several weeks ago on Mother's Day about God's ability to provide children. This was one of the people that we looked at, that this woman had a burden in her heart. Her burden was she was childless, and she wanted a child. She said to God, "God, you give me a child, I'll give that child back to you." She and Elkanah did that physically. They took this child to the temple, and Samuel, in the Old Testament, The temple was the place where the people met with God. God came to that place specifically to meet with them. It was a very special place. It's not like the church. It's not like somebody today is going to take a child, bring him to church, and that, you know, like a child that's going to serve God here and going to be raised in the church. It was different. But she did that in obedience to God, took that child to the temple, and Samuel got to grow up serving God. And in the temple, it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It just means that God wasn't at that time communicating with his people as he had in the past. They weren't getting that revelation, so it was kind of a dry season. And so the word of God was precious. What they had of the word of God was precious, but there wasn't that continued revelation until God spoke. You know the story, right? And he said, what? Samuel, Samuel. As a little boy there in the temple, Samuel's sleeping. He hears the voice of God saying, Samuel, Samuel. And he runs to Eli and said, Eli, you called me. And Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And that happened several times until Eli says to Samuel, Samuel, when God speaks, just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, this morning, let me pause there and just say, that ought to be in your heart this morning. We ought to each one say to God, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. If you want to speak to my heart today, if you want to tell me something from your word, if there's something I need in my life today, then God, speak, for thy servant heareth. But God audibly spoke to Samuel. And it says in verse 15, and Samuel lay until the morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. What was Samuel? You know what Samuel was? We could say he was a porter. He was a porter. He was a doorkeeper in the house of God. His responsibility was to go and to open the door and to close the door. Every morning, open the door. Every evening, close the door. And just as a porter, I mean, we think about it, not a great responsibility, just a child in the temple, but just as a porter, God came to Samuel and spoke to Samuel as he was doing that. Now, fast forward a little bit, because this is where I was going in my devotions and what I was thinking about. Because you come, when you think about Samuel as a porter, then you think about King David. King David was the king after King Saul. Remember, Samuel's a prophet that anointed King Saul to the position as king. And as Saul became king, he's a big man, he's strong, he's powerful, and he didn't have the journey that Samuel had as a doorkeeper, as it were, in the house of God. But Samuel watched Saul rise up in pride and then get taken out of his position of power for the Lord because of his pride. And so Samuel, as he's looking for the next king, it's not Eliab, the big man, the son of Jesse. It's David, the son of Jesse, just a little man, just a man that goes out with a sling and a stone to kill a giant, right? We know the story. But as he goes and he gets David, I don't know that this took place, but there was instruction that was taking place between Samuel and David. Because you remember, David is the one that says in Psalm 84:10, he said, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. David said that. And it makes me wonder, and I don't know that this is true, but he had Samuel for a mentor, and Samuel saw the pride of Saul and saw that Saul was destroyed. I wonder if he ever said to David, David, just be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Just humbly do whatever God gives you to do, whatever abilities God's giving you, whatever position God has given you for him. David, just humbly do that for God, because God could use you, but you got to have this doorkeeper mentality. So David, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. David didn't want wickedness. He didn't want to live a life of sin. He didn't want to have Satan as his, giving him everything. He wanted nothing from Satan. And he would take rather the least for God and use that for God. There was a man in my home church that I think about with this idea of a doorkeeper. He would get there early Sunday morning before anybody else got there, something like 5:30 or 6:00, so he could go back afterwards to get his family. But what he did, he came to my dad. My dad's the pastor of the church at that time, and said he wanted a ministry, but he didn't feel like he could stand up in front of people and speak or do that kind of ministry. He just wanted something to do for the Lord, so he volunteered to clean the church. So he'd get there early before anybody came, and he'd clean it. And I don't think many people knew, you know, that Dave Genova was doing that. Dave Genova's gone to be with the Lord just a few years ago. But he had a servant's heart. You know, it's a blessed thing to just say to God, God, just a doorkeeper. God, I want to have a doorkeeper mentality. How can I just take whatever you give me? God, I want to use it for you. No matter what it is, I want it to bring glory to you. You know, keeping the doors of God's house is a great ministry, and it's great preparation for future ministry. And again, in our text, these men are called porters. And I want to ask you the question this morning, are you worthy to be a porter in God's house? Are you worthy to be a porter? And we're going to look again at 1 Chronicles 9, verses 22 through 30, and just trust that the Spirit of God is going to use His Word in our hearts this morning to draw us close to our Savior. Let's pray. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would help me as I speak. And Lord, it's been a great weekend. It's been an amazing weekend. As I've already said, I wish that the blessing of that and those days could be shared with our church, but I believe they can be. Lord, as we get ready for Pastoral Gorman to come this next week and the ministry that's going to take place, as we come into your presence just now, Father, it would be my desire that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and challenge our hearts and grow and develop us in our walk with you. Father, we're not worthy to be a porter in the house of God. I mean, we're not worthy just to open those gates and close those gates. But Father, whatever you give us to do, I pray that we do it well. I pray that we do it to the best of our ability. And so I pray just now in this time that we have that your Spirit would please speak. And I pray that you challenge us, please, Lord. We need it. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
The first thing about porters, as we take up this idea of this doorkeeper, porters for God's house are appointed by kings and prophets. I'm going to the Old Testament there, but porters for God's house are appointed by kings and prophets. Listen to verse 22 of our text, and this is where God tied everything together for me as I was doing my devotions. It says, all these which were chosen to be porters in the gates were 212. These were reckoned by their genealogy in their villages. Now, what's it say next? Whom David and Samuel, the seer, did ordain and set in their office. See, Samuel had been a doorkeeper. He was a porter. David was the one, again, that said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. And I don't think when David said that, that David was saying that's a, and I've kind of suggested this, I don't want to suggest this at all, that that's a low position. David said, is saying rather, that's an honorable position. You are a doorkeeper in the house of God. And as a porter, imagine this, you're called in before the king and before the prophet, Samuel. And the king and the prophet look at you and say, we'd like you to keep that door. They didn't delegate it. They didn't say, to anybody else, hey, you go find somebody that you think would be appropriate for this position. The king and the prophet looked down and they said, look, we have chosen you. You know, as God looks for somebody to serve him this morning, it's not the pastor's job to seek out and to say, hey, you know, I think you would do this, right? But God is able to work in the hearts of people in our church and say, look, I got something for you to do. There's ministry to be done. There's service to be done. I have chosen you to be a porter. It's a position given to us by the king. Now, as you think about that, that's a privilege, isn't it? It is an absolute privilege to serve, as we're even doing today. We're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why we don't come to the service with a shallow mindset and a sloppy attitude, a sloppy appearance, a sloppy worship, right? Why? Because we're worshiping God. This is about God. This is about pleasing God. This is about exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as you bring it down to an earthly level, if you're going to be somebody in the employment of Her Majesty, the Queen, it's going to be to the standard that the Queen expects for that kind of service. And it's important. I want to just read you some statements from the official website of the British monarchy. Here's a few statements from there. First, the royal household aims to provide exceptional advice and support to the queen, enabling her to serve the nation and its people. Now let's apply it to Christianity. Let's put the King of Kings. The church aims to provide exceptional and not advice or counsel, but support to the king, enabling him to serve the nation and its people. Isn't that what it's about today? That's so fitting as we think about this idea of being a porter in the house of God. Who are we supporting? The king. Why? So he can get his message and his ministry out to his people. That's a privilege. That's a high position that God gives. It says as well, all employees are expected to attain and demonstrate the high standards expected of an organization which serves the queen. Don't you expect that? I mean, do you want somebody that's a porter? Like, do you want to see these men outside the doors, you know, the soldiers that everyone tries to get, you know, to smile or to do anything? You know, they stand there, they're the guards at the doors. Do you want to watch them spit? Do you want to see them smoke? Do you want to see them, you know, cursing somebody? Do you want to see them, you know, in a drunken brawl? Do you want to see them staying up late, watching movies they shouldn't watch, doing things they ought not do? No, why? Because they serve the queen. And that's not becoming of the nation. Is it? And so as you think about this idea, we're serving the king. Isn't it right for God to say of us this morning that I've got high expectations for you? I've got a high standard for you. Why? Because you're serving me. The royal household, it says, also seeks to employ the best people. We're going to share tonight. I'm looking forward to sharing what God did in our hearts at camp. And Layton's men getting up there, 20 of these guys that got rescued from heroin and other things, and just sharing testimonies of the grace of God. But one of the messages that we heard is that King David, as King David gathered his band to serve him, the Bible says they were the outcasts of society. These were disturbed people. These were people that were, you could say, bad people. They were a motley crew that came to serve David in the wilderness. You know what David didn't do? David didn't say, I can't use you because you've got problems in your life. You've got other things in your life. As the future king, you know what he did? He took those men where they were. He took them exactly where they were, and he made them what he wanted them to be. And that's what God does. But as he does that, he brings us to the best of his servants. God's servants are chosen from those that have a heart for him, have a desire for him. These men could not have served King David well if they weren't all in for his servants and serving the king. It's the same with us, isn't it? We got to serve, we got to be the best that we can be for our king. And then it says also, employees of the royal household are also encouraged to act responsibly and proactively in supporting the values and speaking about the charities and the different things, community interests of the queen. Well, shouldn't we do that today? Shouldn't we be burdened about the fact that the king died for the souls of the people in Lonehead, and the vast majority of them have not yet accepted him as their personal savior? He loves them. They're carrying the burden that I spoke about, Eddie. I can't wait for Eddie to come and share his testimony if he can, and the burden that he carried before he got saved of his sin, and they're under that burden, they're carrying it, and yet our king can set them free, and his desire is to set them free. Those values should be our values today. You know, what a privilege. What a privilege. I don't look at being a minister of the gospel and say, I wish I could do something important. By God's grace, what God's given all of us to do is something so very important for him. But porters are for God's house, are appointed by kings and prophets. Secondly, porters have a simple ministry in a very great house. Porters have a simple ministry in a very great house. Look at verse 23 of our text. It says, so they and their children had the oversight of the gates of the house of the Lord, namely the house of the tabernacle by wards. In four quarters were the porters toward the east, west, north, and south, and their brethren which were in their villages were to come after 7 days from time to time with them. If you were a porter, would that get tedious? I mean, think about it. You gotta get up and you gotta go open that door. And you gotta stand there. And then it's time to close the door. Then the next day, what do? You get up and you go open the door. And then you stand there. And then you close the door. And the next day, you get up there and you go and you open the door and you stand there. And then you close the door. It's a tedious job, isn't it? I mean, you're just a porter. Nobody's talking to you, perhaps, as they come in. Nobody's acknowledging you. I don't see, you know, people coming in the door and say, thank you. So, I mean, that's such a blessing that you opened the door for me this morning. I think people are going past them without acknowledging them. Not even seeing them. Not thanking them. Not caring about them. But, you know, what is it that God desired of those porters? You know, we could simply say he desired their faithfulness. Is that it? I mean, to be a porter, you don't have to have great ability. You didn't have to stand up and speak as the priest perhaps had to speak for God. You didn't have to have great anything, any asset to give. The only thing that was absolutely crucial and necessary was that you're rock solid faithful in your position of opening those doors. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it's required in stewards, servants of God, that they be found faithful. But can you be faithful if nobody notices? We had guys, again, I'm maybe going to share all the testimonies I can think of this morning, and I won't even have anything to share tonight. But I watched men stand up and say, you know, they're preaching. They're the speakers at the camp we went to. They're missionary church planters, same thing that God's called us to do. And they are sharing, at the same time they're preaching, they're sharing some of the things that God's doing in their church. One of them said, you know, for 2 years, we didn't have a single person come to church. Could you be faithful if nobody came? I mean, that's tough. We want a pat on the back. We want some physical encouragement. We want somebody to say, rah, rah. We want to see things happening. But these guys were faithful. Praise God. This man said, you know, I praise the Lord. You know, now we've got 11 faithful people plus my family that are coming and worshiping with us. He didn't quit. He didn't look at it and say, there's no point. I'm just going to go home because these people are so hard-hearted. They don't want to hear the message of God. They're not embracing the good news. And so I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to leave. Can you stay just faithful? Just consistent? If nobody thanks you, if nobody encourages you, if nobody notices you, if you're the only one, can you stay faithful to what God's called you to do? Porters have a simple ministry, but again, it's in a very great house. Then we find as well that good porters are promoted to chiefs overseeing God's treasures. Good porters are promoted to chiefs overseeing God's treasures. Verse 26 says, for these Levites, the four chief porters, were in their set office and were over the chambers and treasuries of the house of God. You know, some of the gates were more important than others, right? I mean, you have the outside gate where you're letting people in to worship, but then in that place as well, there's treasure rooms. There's places where people have brought valuable things that they're offering to God, and those things are for the ministry of what they're doing there at the tabernacle. And those doors are vital doors to keep. And so as these people had done the ministry of doorkeeping, eventually, as they proved their faithfulness, God gave them greater opportunity within the house of God to serve God. Isn't that precious? They were faithful. Some gates were more important. What if they had thought, as a child, they look at it and go, man, I want to be a keeper of the treasure. I want to be somebody that stands at that gate. My dad's a porter, but I don't want to just be like my dad. I want to be somebody that does that. Well, if they thought this way, it would be wrong. If they thought, well, then this gate's not important. I'm asleep in it. Yeah, why not? Nobody's going to notice. Nobody even comes in my gate. They come in all the other gates. If I'm not there, it doesn't matter. And they're not faithful with the stewardship that God gave them. Would they ever be promoted to be a chief porter? The guys that had the opportunity for greater ministry were people that showed their faithfulness, men that showed their faithfulness in the doorkeeping that they were given, even if it was mundane, even if it was ordinary, even if it didn't look that great. Nobody looked at that and said, man, I'm so jealous of you. You got to open and close that door. Nobody was looking that way, but they were absolutely faithful in getting there, opening the door. And and somebody noticed who? Their king. And the king said, hey, we need another chief porter over the treasures of the house of God. Get that person because they're faithful. You know, there's things that God has given to each one of us, and we look like it, at it, and we go, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. But you know, that's a stewardship that God's given. It's something that he's entrusted to us to use for him. And if the Bible says, and it says it specifically about money, okay, and it's speaking about it being a little thing. And we think about it as a big thing, you know, because it's something that we love so much and that we want to use so much. But God says money is a very little thing. He says it this way in Luke 16:10, in speaking about money. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And when it says least, it's speaking about money. No big deal. But faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, money, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? If I can't steward just money, I mean, money's no big deal. And again, we all think money's so important. I mean, that's what our world lives for. I mean, money is like the pinnacle. If you have money, that's what you want more than anything, but that's not it when you're a Christian. What we want more than anything is God. Money's just a stewardship. Money's just like something, a tool to use for God as God sees fit. And all I got to do with my money is say to God, God, how do you want me to use my money for you and be a steward of it? But let me, in saying that, God says that's a little stewardship. And he says, if I can't be faithful in stewarding that, then why is he going to commit to me true riches? Greater responsibilities. Greater opportunities. So we have to think about our lives and say, you know, there's a door that God's given me to keep. I'm not keeping it. Because I've looked at it as unimportant. I see preaching as important. I see, evangelism or something as important. And God hasn't made me an evangelist. I don't have those gifts. God hasn't, if I can say it this way, I don't mean it this way, because whatever God's given to us is great. But in our minds, we like to disassociate and say, that's a greater opportunity than this. But listen, if we're not faithful in the little things that God's given to us, he will not give us greater opportunity to serve him. Because we've not been faithful with what we have. So we have to look at it and say, God, what doors are there in my life? What stewardships, what trust have you given to me? That's my responsibility. It might be parenting. It might be caring. It might be, dealing with sin in my life and stewarding my soul that I have in my heart and making sure that my heart's right with God and guarding that in taking those stewardship that God's given and saying, I'm going to do this to the best of my ability so that God in the future will entrust to me greater opportunity, because I want to serve God as much as I can. Are you faithful with the doors that God's given to you? Jeremiah 12:5 says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? And so the idea is, if at this point in our church ministry, and by the way, we're at the beginning of trusting God, the beginning. And if we're weary and we can't hack it and we can't stick it and we can't say by the grace of God, we're going to be faithful what God's given to us. How in the future can we be faithful when God gives us more? And there's greater pressure and greater things that we've got to go to God and say, God, this is a great responsibility. I mean, I've listened to a man of God preach in the United States. And God has allowed him not only to start a church, but to start a seminary. And they've got properties that they're overseeing. And I look at that and I say, I can't imagine how this man can carry the burden of that. But you know why he can? Because he learned to be faithful with what God gave him at the beginning. He pleased God with that. And God promoted him and gave him more grace to do greater things for him. If we want God to do greater things, we got to be faithful with what we have. And so, good porters are promoted to chiefs, overseeing God's treasures. And then porters get to spend their day close to the house of God. They get to spend their day close to the house of God. Verse 27 says, and they lodged round about the house of God. Why? Because the charge was upon them. Where are they? Everybody else is living out away from the place of the presence of God. They're staying very close to God. Why? Because they've been given that charge. They have that responsibility at a moment's notice of being there to do what the king desired them to do and opening the door, closing the door. They can't live far away. They can't stay far away. They got to stay very close to the house of God. You know, I've heard about athletes that were very talented, had great abilities, and their parents looked at that and they said, you know what we're going to do so that you can have the very best training? I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to sell our house. And we're going to move close to your coach so that you can spend more time with him, so that you can really develop, so that you can really train, so that you can really succeed at that sport. You know, it's a precious thing when somebody gets burdened about that, about God's house and the gifts that God's given to them. I want to stay close to the house of God. I want to, because why? God's given me this trust. He's given me this opportunity. I'm going to guard what God's given to me. How? I'm going to stick close to the house of God. You know, you think about it this way. Isn't this true that the more you understand your responsibility before God, the closer you stay to him? The more we understand what God has given us to do, doesn't it burden us to say, God, I got to stay close to you? For instance, God has called us to share the gospel. But I can't share the gospel through a filthy vessel. How can I witness to somebody if there's sin in my heart, sin in my life? I'm not dealing with it. I'm not getting it right with God. Or God's been burdening my heart about something. I haven't obeyed God. For me to be ready to share the gospel, I got to be willing to say, hey, I want to get the sin out of my life because I've been given a sacred trust by God to give the gospel. I want to give the gospel well, so I'm going to stick close to the house of God. Or you could think about it, you know, does this community need an intercessor? Does this community need somebody that can weep and beg God and pray for God to awaken the hearts of people in this community? There's a great need. But how can God use somebody that's got sin in their life, somebody that has a heart that's hard against him, has a heart that's rebelled against him? The answer is God can't. And so when we understand, look, God has called me to intercede for my community. He's called me to intercede for my family. He's called me to intercede for the lost. I got to stay close to God, close to the house of God, to be able to fulfill that. Or just the burden of being God's servant. God, I want to be a good servant. How can you do that? Stay close to the house of God. Good porters look at it and go, you know what? God's given me a charge. Because of that charge, I'm going to stay close to the house. I can't say I'm going to move far away because I got to stay here so I can serve God effectively. So good porters spend their day close to the house of God. And then porters are the first to come, right? And the last to leave. Aren't they? Porters are the first to come and the last to leave. It says, in the opening thereof, every morning pertained to them. They didn't expect somebody else to open the door, did they? Why? Because that was their job. They didn't expect a thank you. Why? Because that was their job. They didn't expect to sleep late and get away early. Why? Because they had a job. While others were in their bed and getting ready to come, they were there because they had what? A job. They looked at it and said, hey, that's my responsibility. First to come, last to leave. First to come, last to leave. No thanks, no appreciation. Why? That's my job. That's a precious, privileged place, isn't it? First one's there. I wonder what it was like getting to the tabernacle in the morning. This is the place of the presence of God. They had a key to the door. They open it. I wonder if in their hearts they're just praying and saying, God, I pray that today would be a great day at the house of God. I pray it would be a great day at your tabernacle. Lord, I beg you, would you work in this place today? Lord, I'm here. I got the door open. God, I pray a lot of people come through that door. Because I'm here. I'm here to serve you. I'm being faithful with the trust that you've given to me. God, it is my desire to see these people come in. What a privilege, eh? Get there early, leave late, just being faithful to what God gave. You know, think about this story of the talents. The people were given different talents, weren't they? But you know, did God hold the person that was given one talent accountable for the 10 talents that the other person was given? No. Everybody was accountable just based on their stewardship. And I can say this morning, somebody's door may not be as important as somebody else's, but God doesn't hold us accountable for somebody else's stewardship. What God will hold us accountable for this morning is, how are we doing with what God has given to us? Are we doing it for God? Are we faithful for God? You know, we ought to be saying to God, God, I want to get there early. I want to get there first. I want to leave last. And don't think physically. I'm just speaking about with whatever God's given you to do, that the idea is you get there first, you leave last. That is your stewardship, and you're committed to it. That's what these guys were doing. They were just seeking to please the master. I mean, if the master, imagine this, the master comes through that gate, how happy they'd be that they were there faithful, opening that door, closing that door. And someday, they get to hear that master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's worth it, isn't it? It would be to me, if I was serving the king, and that my heart's desire was to please the king, it would be worth it to me to be faithful, just so that if the only person that came to the door was the king, I could say, praise God, right? Isn't that enough to please the king? I mean, sure, I mean, at the door, I'm sure they desired all these people to come in to worship God, but it didn't matter who came in, as long as the king was pleased. Our stewardship. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's it, right? Does it matter if somebody, again, passes on the back and says, hey, you're doing a great job? It doesn't matter. It ought to be for God to please our king. Then lastly, porters oversee worship in the house of the Lord. Porters oversee worship in the house of the Lord. Verse 28. And certain of them had the charge of the ministering vessels, that they should bring them in and out by tail. Some of them also were appointed to oversee the vessels and all the instruments of the sanctuary, and the fine flour, and the wine, and the oil, and the frankincense, and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices. What it is saying is that some of them had the responsibility of the worship. If they didn't guard it, then it wasn't proper, then it wasn't right, then it didn't please God. As porters, what is our ministry again? What are we seeking to do? Bring it to a church level. We're seeking to guard the worship of God. We're seeking to have what we need to have here. And listen, every morning you think about coming to church, what you're bringing with you is the ointment, it's the spices. It's got to be right. God's not pleased with us coming to church with sin in our heart, harboring, you know, bitterness in our heart. Our heart's not right with God. We've not yielded to God. And that worship's not right. And that's not guarding the worship. But as we come, we are custodians, as it were, of what takes place in this property where we meet together to bring glory to God. We have the stewardship of that. And so what do? We preach the gospel. We say salvation is by faith in Christ alone, because we're not seeking to have a huge audience of people. We're seeking proper worship of God, and nobody can worship God without Jesus Christ in their heart. The Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that anybody that would come, they could be as sincere as can be, but they can't worship God through Allah, they can't worship God through Buddha, they can't worship God through good works, they can't worship God through baptism, they can't worship God through anything other than Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if in your heart you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and don't have the blood of Christ applied to the heart, it is impossible for you this morning to be a steward of the worship of God, because that worship is not there. You have no stewardship. But as you get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. You have Christ in you. And you're now able to offer up to God sacrifices and thank offerings of which he is pleased. And if we've been saved, that ointment can get corrupted. It can get the world on it. It can get things on it. And if we don't guard our heart, if we don't guard our lives during the week, I'm not talking just about Sunday morning. Hey, let's get ready to go to church. God, please forgive me for all my sin this past week. Now I want to be right, and I'll be right with you until we get out of church Sunday evening. And then I'm going to live like the devil the rest of the week, and I'm going to get right on Sunday morning, and I'm going to come to church. If I'm going to please God, I'm going to say, no, I'm a guardian of that worship. And King, I want us to offer up sacrifices that are pleasing in your sight. And so I'm going to cut the sin out of my life. What a privilege, eh? I don't look I think I used to read, if I read about these guys at all, I probably never noticed them. But you know what I'm noticing now as I read the Bible with this idea of Porter in my mind? That I see them in the genealogies. I see them in the list. It says the porters, the sons of the porters, in a passage about Hezekiah and the cleansing of the temple, there's great importance given to the job of the porter. The porter. And you go, he's just a doorkeeper. But David said it well. He said, you know what? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. These people that are living life for themselves, and I'm going to use this illustration probably many times because it's so in my mind right now, these men that were staying down at Princess Street Garden in those covered little shelters that are down there, and they're homeless, and they're full of sores, and the place stinks of urine, and they're injecting themselves in front of me with heroin, and I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking, that is death. That's not worth living your life for. But they don't want to give it up for anything because Satan has given it to them, and they're following Satan. You know, and I think, you know, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's what Satan gives you. I want what God gives me. To be honest, say to God this morning, you know, I don't deserve any more than just opening and closing the door. That's it. Just to be able to allow others to come in that door to worship God. That's it. Are you a porter this morning? What a privilege, right? Porters have a simple ministry. Just opening and closing the door. That's it. It's not great. You don't have to go, well, I don't have the ability. Well, are you saved? I mean, if you're saved, you have the ability to open and close the door in God's house. And it's not a physical door. It's just saying, hey, if you think like this, I'm inviting people in and I'm helping them, you know, as they come and I'm meeting their needs, right? And notice, I did preach about they're the first to come and the last to leave, but you'll notice it never says they close the doors. And maybe that's a better New Testament picture. We just open the door. We invite people to say, hey, you know, I'm just going to open the door for you to come to Christ. I'm just going to open the door for you to come to Christ. I'm just going to open the door for you to come to Christ. Nobody thanks me. Nobody comes in the door. I'm going to be faithful to do what God's called me to do because that's what God has given me to do. Porters stay close to the house of God. Porters are first to come, last to leave. Porters oversee worship in God's house. You know, I don't have a problem this morning saying I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to go on the tents of wickedness. It's such a privilege. I hope you have that privilege. You know, I want to tell you this morning again. If God speaks in your heart, it would be the Holy Spirit that is able to speak, because I can't. I can't. No preacher can. I have no ability to work in somebody's heart, but I am convinced of this, that God the Holy Spirit has the ability to speak to people's hearts and to bring them to victory and salvation and life and obedience to Him. And I challenge you to do this. If the Spirit of God is speaking in your heart, and you know in your heart this morning, you know I need to make a decision. First of all, I'm not a porter. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not a guardian of worship because I can't offer proper worship because I don't have the blood of Jesus Christ in my heart. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I can't open the door to anybody else, whether it's my family, my friends, anybody I'm concerned about. I can't open the door for them to come to Christ because I haven't come to Christ myself, and I'm not a doorkeeper. If that's you this morning, I just say, hey, become a doorkeeper. Ask God, say, you know, I'd like to accept Jesus Christ my Savior. He died for me. He paid the price for me. I want to come to you through Him. And by the way, He is the door, isn't He? He's the door. By me, if any man enter in, He's the door. And so I want that relationship with the door that I can have, Jesus Christ. Having accepted that, you can serve God. And I would just say this, and I thought this in high school. I thought, God, I've lived in sin. My life's been messed up. And I thought, I hated it. I was so grieved by it. I thought I've wasted all these years. And now, you know, Satan goes, well, it's too late. No point now. But you know what God spoke my heart about? Listen, I've got tomorrow. I've got next week. I've got next year. I've got next 5 years. I've got next 10 years. I can serve God with those days. Otherwise, I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to have nothing to give God. But God, by your grace, whatever I can get tomorrow, I'll give to you. And just say, hey, this is my life now. I want to please God. And then if you're already a doorkeeper, how are you doing? Could you honestly say to the king, I've been a good doorkeeper? I mean, that's it, isn't it? Isn't God the one that's going to ask us, how'd you do with that stewardship I gave you? I gave you money. I gave you talents. I gave you abilities. I gave you kids. I gave you friends. I gave you opportunities. I gave you all this. I gave you all these good things. How'd you do? Well, to be honest, this morning we'd say, you know what? I've not been a good porter. I've not been a good doorkeeper. You know what you could say to God? You could say the same thing to God. God, I've been sleeping in my bed. I've been not getting there. I thought it was too unimportant to bother about, but God, I see it as important today. And by your grace, tomorrow, I'm going to get up. I'm going to open the door. And God, tomorrow after that, I'm going to get up and I'm going to open the door. And tomorrow after that, I'm going to get up and open the door. Why? Because it's required in stewards that man be found faithful. And God, it doesn't matter if somebody pats me on the back. It doesn't matter if somebody encourages me. It doesn't matter if somebody notices me. By God's grace, I'm going to be faithful. If we do that, you know what we'd have? I honestly believe this. We'd have revival. Wouldn't that be revival? People getting saved, becoming doorkeepers, and the doorkeepers being absolutely spot on for serving God. And I hope that's encouragement to you. Challenge me. Challenge me, and I pray to challenge you. Let's pray. Ask God to bless his word. Father, we're so thankful for our time this morning to gather around the word of God. And we ask, please, again, and I pray, Father, by your divine grace, that the Spirit of God would speak to hearts. I know he has. I know he has. And Father, I just pray, give us grace to be obedient. Father, if we walk out of this door and say, you know what, I don't want to keep that door. You know, there's a chance at least that we'll never have that opportunity to yield again. But Father, if we yield, what a privilege, what an appointment you've given to us. But then as well, Father, if we go out the door this morning and say, you know what, forget it. I'm just not interested in being a porter. I don't care. It's not that cool. It's not that glamorous. It's not in the spotlight. Nobody notices. Nobody cares. Nobody thanks me. I'm not interested. Then Father, we've missed it. We've missed the privilege of serving you, pleasing you. Father, there's no chance in the world we'll ever hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So God, help us be faithful. Encourage us. It's not easy. Father, admittedly, doorkeeping was tough. Because it was unglamorous, because it was not something of encouragement. But Father, those men were faithful. And I pray by the grace of God and the Spirit of God, you'd help us be faithful as well. Bless us now as we stand and sing. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please.